Thank you all for coming this morning. It's a special day as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but honestly, it should be something we celebrate every day as we are reminded of what we have through Christ. I want to start this morning reading you a story. There's a preacher of old school, but he speaks as boldly as ever. He's not popular, though the world is his audience. And he travels every part of the globe and speaks in every language. He visits the poor, he calls upon the rich, and he preaches to every person, religious and non-religious. And the subject of this person's sermon or this sermon is always the same. He's an eloquent preacher, often stirring feelings which no other preacher could, and bringing tears to eyes that never weep. His arguments none are able to refute, nor is there any heart that has remained unmoved by the force of his appeals. He shatters life with his message. Most people hate him. Everyone fears him. And the preacher's name is Death. He touches everyone. He impacts every person ever has been born. But here this morning, we're here to celebrate someone who has conquered man's greatest foe, which is death, and of course, sin by death. There was once a man conversing with a Brahmin priest, and he asked, "Could you say, 'I'm the resurrection and the life?'" And the priest replied by saying, "I could say that." And then the questioner said, "But could you make anybody believe it?" It's easy to say that you are the resurrection and the life as Jesus has done, but could you make anyone believe it? This morning, as I've mentioned already, we are here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to celebrate what he has done and what that means for each of us. You may ask yourself a question this morning: why is that important and why does that matter to us? And the answer, of course, is found in Scripture as you study the Word of God that says the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we needed Jesus, because we have all sinned, we have all gone our own way, we have all disobeyed God in one way or another, and we have broken His law. And because of sin coming into the world, there is now death, for the Bible says that death came by sin. So the reason we're so excited to celebrate Jesus is because Jesus came to pay my penalty for sin. He came and did what no one else could do, as he took the payment for sin upon himself. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't earn our way to heaven. Our way to heaven is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking about that. We talked about that last week a little bit in leading up to his death and then ultimately his resurrection, which we celebrate today. But in 1 Corinthians 15, I won't make you turn there. I already preached a little bit out of this morning at the sunrise service. But the Apostle Paul spends basically the entire chapter talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you some of the highlights, and you don't have to go to every verse. But basically, Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, the good news is now rendered bad news. Paul says if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, your faith is worthless. That's what he claims. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that every witness to the resurrection and all preachers of the resurrection are deluded liars if Jesus did not raise from the dead. And he also says basically that Christianity is a fairy tale without a resurrection. Without a resurrection this morning, all humanity remains captive to sin. Paul's words become a sentence for the guilty. As I mentioned already, the wages of sin is death. No resurrection. our sentence is complete, and we remain captive to sin. Our world without the resurrection remains captive to sin, still enslaved to death. And with no resurrection, Christians are the most foolish people on earth. Death is certain to all, and all who have died will perish in their sin. And we, without the resurrection and without Jesus Christ, are deluded fools with no resurrection. But the Apostle Paul, after finishing these statements in 1 Corinthians 15, then says in verse number 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead. All the things that I have stated in a negative way have now become positive. There is a good news. Your faith is not worthless. Christianity is not a fairy tale. And through Christ, you can have victory over sin. And the wages of sin may be death," but the verse continues that says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Death we may all experience, but Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We are not deluded fools, but we have hope, and not only hope, but a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I asked myself this morning as I was preparing, this week as I was preparing to preach this morning, and I asked myself, what would God want me to say about the resurrection? What is it would God want to reveal to you about the resurrection? The answer I came up with is, and I'm not going to fight for the evidence for the resurrection because the Bible proves that, but what does God desire for me to say about the resurrection? What is it that proves that Jesus really rose from the dead? That's what a question many people have, and I'm going to answer that very, very clearly this morning. The Bible proves Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible is the Word of God. So now that we've dealt with that, let's move on to another question. I don't want to talk this morning about how we can prove the resurrection. As I said, the Bible proves the resurrection. All Scripture, I quoted this morning in the sunrise service, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's from Him. There's no doubt the Scriptures are from God. They are not written down willy-nilly. The Bible says that the Scriptures came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word moved means driven. It's the same idea of the apostles when they were in a ship, a boat, and they were on the sea, and there was a storm, and they took down the sails, and the Bible says, and they let the wind drive them or move them, and the wind took the boat wherever it would. That's exactly the word we have here, that the Scriptures came not in old time by the will of God, but holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture is the Word of God. It is God's revelation of Himself to mankind. So the Scripture, the Bible, proves the resurrection. The Bible is the Word of God. And the Scripture said Jesus rose from the dead, and that settles it. So the issue this morning that I want to tackle is this. The issue, frankly, is not what proves the resurrection. The issue is, what does the resurrection prove? Not what proves it, but what does it prove? What did it verify? What did the resurrection accomplish? What did the resurrection prove? What did the resurrection of Jesus really mean? As God tells us in His Word, what does the resurrection prove to us? So three quick points this morning Number one, and you're going to say, well, Josh, this doesn't make any sense because you just said the Bible proves the resurrection. But the first point this morning is this: the resurrection proves the Scriptures. We'll turn that back around. The resurrection proves that Scripture is true. The Bible has stated that the resurrection would happen in the Old Testament. It's all, a lot of the many things in the Old Testament are about Christ, but specifically Psalm 16 and Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53 wrote of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, wrote that he would rise from the dead in the book of Psalms. And so we recognize that based upon the claims that Scripture made of what Christ would do, and then he is born, and he does exactly what the Scripture said he would do. It shows us the Scripture is true. So you must believe what God has revealed to you about himself through his Word. We are so easily distracted in this day and age that we are often looking for all kinds of things to prove the existence of God. And really, that proof is in the Word of God as he has revealed himself to us. So the resurrection proves that the Scripture is true. Go to Luke chapter 24 and verse number 25. Luke 24 and verse number 25. The Scriptures prove the resurrection, and the resurrection proves the Scriptures. This morning we understand in Luke chapter 24 in verse number 25, this is a well-known portion of Scripture of Jesus on the Emmaus Road. We understand that earlier in this chapter, interesting situation here, earlier in the chapter, Jesus had risen from the dead, and then here we are in verse number 25, and he's on the Emmaus Road, all right? And he's conferring there. I said verse 25, back up a little bit at verse number 23. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he is alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. Now, again, maybe I'm making a little big, too big a deal of this, all right? But who is saying that? That is Jesus. Interesting, to me anyway. What is it that he is concerned? You know, if this was me, I would have said, hey, here I am, right? Here I am. Is this not evidence enough for you to see that I am alive, that I have risen from the dead? But that's not what he says. He questions why they didn't believe the Word of God. He said, God said by his prophets that I would rise. God said that I would come out of the grave. He said I would suffer upon a cross, as Psalms 22 says. And he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You did not believe the Word of God. And therefore, because you did not understand, and you did not see, and you were slow of heart to believe the Word of God. On the Emmaus Road, Christ said, you are slow at heart to believe what the prophets have written of me, of Psalms 2 and Psalm 16, all the verses, all the chapters that I've already mentioned to you this morning. So the resurrection proves Scripture is true. The picture of the dead and risen Messiah is all over Scripture. Go quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once again, back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 3. Look at what Paul says as he's writing 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The resurrection. You want to have faith? You want to have dependence on something? You can trust the Word of God. The Word of God proves the resurrection. The resurrection proves the Word of God. You want to know God? Know His Word. You want to understand what he has revealed to mankind. Go to his word, as he has revealed himself to man through his word. Number two this morning, number one, was the resurrection proves and validates the scriptures. Number two this morning, and I already, this is kind of 2 point, I guess 1 point with a small letter A here. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Secondly, as I mentioned, the resurrection not only proves the truthfulness of the Word of God, it proves the deity of the Son of God. It proves the deity of the Son of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Before we read that, let me help you understand something, all right? It could not be just anybody die upon a cross, right? We understand, I posted this week on Facebook that there was three people that died that day. Three crosses. One died in sin. The thief that called to Christ died to sin. And one died for sin. Do you understand that there's been people crucified before Christ, and there's been people crucified after Christ? Jesus is the only one that could have paid the price upon the cross. Because Jesus, according to the Word of God that we just have established is true, because the Bible validates the resurrection validates the Bible, and so we recognize that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. And so we recognize that the Scriptures teach here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Look at what he says, Peter preaching, and he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ." It proves the deity of Christ. I've shared this with you before, that people say, I've heard this said many times, Jesus took my place upon the cross. That sounds good, but it's not true. I couldn't have died for you, and you could not have died for you. Jesus is the only one that could die for me, so he took his place upon the cross. Romans 3 says that God has set him forth to be a propitiation for our sins. Jesus was paying a payment that only he could pay. And the chapter goes on in Romans 3 that says that Jesus might be the just and the justifier of him that believe. Jesus was working out salvation by grace through faith because he was God in the flesh. You need other passage? I'll give you one more. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus on earth received worship. Jesus on earth forgave sins. Jesus on earth healed and raised people from the dead. He was God. And he came to the earth for a purpose, which was to die on a cross. Now this is what gets me in trouble sometimes. The cross. Did you know? I asked Joanne if I could say this week, and she actually told me no, so maybe I should not go on with this. The cross was the vindication of God. Have you ever thought for a moment, we say, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Yes, he did. But Jesus died on the cross to appease the wrath of the Father. The cross was for God, so he could show grace and love to me. Heretic, right? You ever thought about that? Jesus died on the cross for the Father. The Bible says he was the propitiation. Who was he making the payment to? He wasn't paying me. Sin required a payment. The payment was made for the Father so we could be forgiven of our sin. He was the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus was God in the flesh. Number one, the resurrection is true because of Scripture. The resurrection proves Scripture. Number two, Jesus was God in the flesh. Only he could die. That's why the Bible says this. You know these verses. There's one name given among men whereby you must be saved. There is no other name whereby you can be saved. That's why the Bible makes those claims. It's only Christ. Only Christ. You could not have gone to that cross. I could not have gone to that cross. Only Christ could go to the cross. And that's why Jesus, the Bible says, as I mentioned last week, that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. That's what was happening, is it was planned by God to save mankind from their sin. The resurrection proves the truthfulness of God's word, and it proves the deity of the Son of God. Now go to Romans chapter number 4, the last point this morning. I know some of you thought that since this was my second sermon of the day, that it would be abbreviated. Pastor Dave from Sangre this morning said, I'm not going to say much because the scouting report is Josh is long-winded. Who told him that is what I want to know. Romans chapter number 4 to the third and final point this morning. The resurrection of Christ proves the truthfulness of the Word of God. It proves the deity of the Son of God. And number 3, it proves the completion of the salvation of God. Sometimes I sit around and ponder salvation. Do you realize what God did in working this out for mankind? Do you realize the more you study, I will never tire of studying salvation. And do you realize what God did to work salvation out perfectly through Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done? I'm a liar, right? And before you judge me, you are too, right? We've all sinned. But God, knowing that, knowing, sends His Son to make me what I never could have been. Romans chapter number 4, in verse number, I said 25, Monty, I'm sorry. Go to verse 23. Monty and I have a good relationship. I bounce him around from scripture to scripture. But it says, now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him. He's talking about Abraham. But it says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. That's a accounting term for what I understand, imputed. Placed on an account. And for whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now look at this. It gives you the picture of salvation and the picture of the work of Christ in one verse. Who was delivered? Who delivered Him there? Oh, it's those terrible Jewish people that did that. No. This was according to the foreknowledge of God, that Jesus would be delivered to pay for the sins of mankind, who was delivered for our offenses. That's my sins. That's my disobedience. And raised for our justification. Happy Resurrection Day, right? He was raised for my justification. Isn't that amazing that I mentioned 2 times in this verse? My offenses. That's the first time. That's my sin. The second is that He was raised for my justification. Now, most of you would understand what the word justification means, but if you haven't heard it or understand it, it's a legal term, which is a declaration of not guilty. Why would I need a declaration of not guilty? Because, He just said, because of my offenses. I need my sin paid for. And so Jesus was raised for my justification. So, according to the previous verse, He says, for all those that put faith in Christ, He says, I have received justification. That means a declaration from the Creator who knows my every thought, who knows my every word, who knows my every action, that through Christ He can declare me not guilty of my sin. That's what Jesus was doing in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then sometimes You get to the end of a chapter, and you're like, oh, that's it, that's the final thought. It's not. Verse 1 of chapter 5 is the logical conclusion of what's happening at the end of chapter 4. Chapter 5, verse number 1, he says this, therefore, because he was delivered for our offenses, because he was raised for our justification. Don't stop there. He says in verse 1 of chapter 5, therefore, on account of this, because of this, he says, you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You are at peace with the living God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection shows us the truthfulness of God's word. It proves to us the deity of Christ. And the resurrection shows the completion of the salvation of God. In other words, this: nothing else needs to be done. There'll be no more sacrifices for sin. Hebrews said, this man, after speaking of Jesus, this man, after he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, what'd he do? He sat down. What could the priest never do in the Old Testament? He could not sit. Why? His work was never done. Next year, there's the next celebration, the next sacrifice, the next sin. On and on it went, but not Jesus. Jesus said he offered one sacrifice for sin forever. And he sat down. You wonder why he said it's finished upon the cross. What's finished? What's finished? It's the drawing to the end of the plan of Almighty God for the salvation of mankind. So a group on Resurrection Sunday in Westcliff, Colorado, that had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ can have a surety that their sins are forgiven and that they will rise again with Jesus in the last day. That's why he's done this. So you can have a relationship with the living God. The resurrection shows us the truth of Scripture. It shows us the deity of Christ. And it talks about the completion of the salvation of God. In order for God to justify us, in order for God to declare us righteous, he had to raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus was raised in order that in the sight of God, we might be made righteous. In order that in the sight of God, we may be without sin. In order that in the sight of God, we could be forgiven. That's why we're excited about Resurrection Sunday. That's why when I draw my last breath upon this earth, I know where I'm going, because it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ. And I've put my faith in him. I don't have a maybe salvation. Let me tell you something. It's called salvation, not probation. Through Jesus Christ, I have salvation. I've been forgiven of my sin. I'm not on probation. I hope I'm saved. No. The Bible says these things are written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. And this life is in his Son. It's so you could know, because of your greatest foe, because of death that will come to all, and thus the Lord returns, that you can know you have a home in heaven. Jesus Christ signified his victory over sin by raising from the dead, which is the outworking of sin. One more story and I'm done this morning. There was a British minister named W.E. Sangster, and he began to lose his voice and mobility about the mid-1950s. He had a disease that caused progressive muscular atrophy. He recognized the end was near, so he threw himself into writing and praying. In the midst of his suffering, he pleaded, "Let me stay in the struggle. Lord, I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but just give me a regimen to lead," Minister Sangster said. Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and shakily wrote his daughter a letter. In the letter, he said, "It's terrible to wake up on resurrection morning and have no voice, with which to shout, He is risen. But then the letter continued and he wrote these words, but it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout, He is risen. When you ponder the greatness of Christ, the greatness of the work of God, do you not want to lift your voice? He is risen from the grave. The Scripture is true. The Word of God is reliable. He is God in the flesh, and my salvation is complete through His work. Oh, may we have voices to shout of our resurrected Lord. May our lives be filled with His peace and His instruction. May our hearts be instructed by the Word of God and the truth that we find therein. And may we, with Mr. Sangster, be willing to shout, He is risen with all our hearts. Because He has risen, I will raise also. Bethany's going to come and sing us a final song this morning. As she comes, can we bow our heads together for just a moment? Jesus Christ, the greatest name that we ever have the privilege of speaking. Salvation of God, the greatest teaching we could ever even begin to comprehend. Jesus, this day we celebrate, rose from the dead for your justification. Take a moment there in your seat before Bethany sings. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, reach to Him by faith. He's calling you. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If He's calling you this day, respond by faith to His call. Have you ever trusted Jesus? It's true. What the Bible says is true. He is who He says He is. He's done what He said He's done. Have you ever accepted Him for eternal life and been given salvation through faith by grace through faith? Take a moment there in your seat. If you're here today and you are saved, thank Him for what He's done. May your heart be stirred by His greatness. May you trust more in Scripture. May you worship deeper. And may we praise greater for what our Savior has done.